Welcome to the Motivational Firewood Radio Show with your host, Steve Gamlin. As an award-winning speaker and author, Steve's greatest passion is blending inspiration and humor to create relatable, actionable, and repeatable messages. We hope you enjoy this recording.
Hey there, my radio friend, Steve Gamlin here with the latest episode of the Motivational Firewood Radio Show. Today's guest is Mr. Brian Payne. I first became aware of Brian when somebody shared on my Facebook page this guy who got written about in a really cool Upworthy article, and the headline said, "Armed with a Sharpie and Rocks, this guy is lifting people's spirits every day." Brian, welcome to the Motivational Firewood Radio Show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, where are we speaking to you from? Where do you hail from?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Beautiful area. And, of course, up here in New England, our Boston Red Sox have a great, rich history with your St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, we got some history.
For better or for worse, we got history, which is good. Class organization. Much respect.
Thank you. Yeah, we like to stay classy.
So, let's see. You are, as the article says, armed with a Sharpie and some rocks. And basically, you've created this insanely cool movement called Doodle Stones. So, how did Doodle Stones get started?
Well, I guess first and foremost, I'm a treasure hunter, and I mostly treasure hunt the Mississippi River. I think that's kind of an abstract term. I look for things to repurpose in the rivers in Missouri, mostly the Mississippi. And it's a really long process, so we'll find a tile from a building from 100 years ago, and then I find one a day. And so I'm thinking long term, in 10 years I can do a tile floor with the tiles I find from the Mississippi River. But I'll know that they all came from the Mississippi. So I do that with all kinds of stuff, broken glass, bent wires, cool artifacts from the World's Fair, all over the place. But it's such a slow process that not a lot of people can get involved with my experience with the river. And so I like to doodle. I'm a very avid doodler, and I just started doodling on the rocks, and, you know, I didn't know what to do with them, so I didn't think anyone would buy them per se, so I just started hiding them as little gifts for my city, you know, as a way for me to give back, give them that sort of surprise kind of treasure mentality that I get on the river when I happen upon something really great. So I just started dropping them off, and it's caught on pretty heavily.
Now, what led to the Upworthy article, or did somebody interview you or just kind of write as an observer? Because I read it, man. I just thought it was so great for somebody to recognize the greatness. I was in the media for 10 years. I was on the radio for a decade. And I know that the media is more concerned with the bad guys than the good guys. So how did that whole article come about?
Well, I was contacted on my Instagram Doodle Stones page by a writer at Upworthy that's from St. Louis that's wanting to pull positive stories out of St. Louis because of all of the negative media that we've gotten in the last year. And so they said, we want to do a piece. We think what you're doing is really cool. A week later, they interviewed me. I had my friend who's a photographer follow me around to get kind of a third-person perspective of the whole thing, sent them those photos. And then what they told me was, we want to turn this from guy doodles on rock to create a better, friendlier city to guy doodles on rocks and look at how it positively affects the city. So they kind of wanted to like turn it into this thing that was just starting to happen to this thing that was in full bloom happening. And so they wanted to help me make that step. And so, yeah, they interviewed me for about an hour. It was really fun on a video chat. And then they turned it into that beautiful article that I couldn't have ever represented myself that well. So really exciting.
Nice. Now, of course, I've been in the media up here, here and there over the years as a speaker, as an author, as an entertainer. And I got to ask, now, does your mom, Barbara, have a copy of that article hanging on the fridge?
Oh, she doesn't, man, but she's definitely on her Facebook every day, reading all the comments. She's the one who tells me what's going on in the media. She says, oh, Brian, look at this comment that somebody says. This isn't so cool. She made a compilation of all of her favorite comments that people have left across the media and made her own little summary of it all. It's pretty great. No, she doesn't have a copy. Probably if I printed one out, it would go on the fridge and never go away.
Yeah, I was out at my mom's house recently and I saw an article from, oh gosh, November of 2008. I had won a speaking competition up in Canada. And I went over to mom's house, and there's the article still on the fridge. It's been there since Christmas of 2008.
Nice.
And I'm thinking either mom's really proud or I have not done a damn thing noteworthy since November of 2008.
Yeah, I think moms are the ones we should be making proud. That's what I learned.
Yeah. Any chance to make moms proud? I mean, man, that just, it's so reflective of all the hard work they put in turning us into, you know, hopefully really good guys.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it took me a long time to figure that out. And now I think she's soaking it up. About a week ago, I caught her tearing up, and she kind of left the room. My mom is a rock. She would never cry in front of me, but I saw her tearing up, and I was like, okay, I think I'm doing something right for her. I think she's finally proud of me. She's always thought I had to take my weird path, but it allowed me to do it. She was really good about that. Let me travel all over, saw 49 states, didn't go to college, but always worked hard on my own weird stuff, and she let me do it, and never quite understanding it, and it seems like somehow at this moment I've kind of bridged that gap in understanding, and she's ready to support me with her voice, not just her action.
Yeah. So one of the things I did check out, of course, was your Instagram page, and I've got to say, my favorite Doodlestone pictures and locations so far include a highway overpass, the ice cream aisle at a store, a drinking fountain, which was one of the coolest shots. I encourage people, go up and look for the drinking fountain picture. And on the bicycle sign, which was so cool. So now, are these all of you placing them? Because I know you get quite a following now. So are other people placing them and sending you pictures? How's that working?
Yeah, I got to say that drinking fountain one is my favorite too. It makes me crack up. If I'm cracking up about my own stuff, I think I'm doing all right. Those are all mine. I've placed all of those. I place probably 3 to 5 times as many pictures as I post. I hide them everywhere I go, kind of like leaving a trail of where I've been. And I just see so much. I travel across the whole city every week that it kind of leaves this like breadcrumb, in this case, you know, Doodlestone trail of the places I've been. But yeah, I wait for those ones that really tell a complete story in that frame. And then I try to post that one as the public clues. And then other than that, chalk the rest of the ones up to chance, whoever happens upon them, whoever can find them without clues. But as far as other people, they're more than welcome to take my format and use the hashtag, so that way, you know, it's already a working community that if they look up the hashtag, they'll be able to find me, they'll be able to find other stones of other people that are starting to do this. So I've had a few people start their own Instagram, so it'd be like Doodlestones Ontario, which is one of the ones that started, or their own interpretation of it. You know, there's other people, there's a group, Joy Rocks, I think they've been doing it before me, but just kind of bringing these people together, showing that there's a larger support, being that point man or that teacher to try to collect tips and set an example of how you can do this to the best you can and spread it out across the world. And every day has been a bombardment of people who want basic tips, want to take it to their classrooms. I would say I've had close to 100 teachers tell me that they wanted to put it in their lesson plan for this year with their students. And even one teacher said, can I have permission to do this as a lesson plan? Just so you know, I think there's about 7,000 teachers out there that also want to do this. So,
wow.
I just, you know, kind of just let them go, let them do it as they please, give me as much credit as they want. I'm going to keep doing it for me because it's working for me. The more it can work for them, the more that we can create a sort of community out of this experience, the better. So I think that that's kind of where we're slowly walking in that direction to try to figure out how it works as a group, because I'm obviously not in these other locations rallying the people or getting them to connect, but it worked for me. So if I continue to lead, hopefully, and share the posts when people really do kind of create some sort of success in their area, then find more people in their areas to latch onto. It's just starting to work out, but it does seem like it's beginning to work in other places, and that's probably the most exciting part about it.
So what was your inspiration kind of in the first place? Who were your heroes or maybe your influences? What even made you think to whip out a Sharpie and kind of doodle on that first stone?
Well, I have a couple of really cool stories, and I'm really excited to actually share these artifacts that I have and stories. First of all, I went to school for art. I didn't complete. I didn't graduate. But where I learned the most was in these books I created called mesh-up books. I would start a drawing, and then I would pass it to my friends, and they would try to change the drawing so it would say or mean something else, pass it back to me, and then I would try to do the same thing, and we try to reverse it back and forth until we have a drawing that has a complete idea, but there's this whole story of how it got there. And I feel like that translates with the rocks, that the rocks are this thing that I'm meshing up with, that I'm collaborating with, that the gentle lines that are already in the rock are kind of the structure that I'm using to do that with myself, kind of see how far I can make it my own while keeping it the rocks. So that's a huge inspiration. And one time when I was in Vancouver, I was sitting on a bench, and I leaned over and I said, well, you know, this thing doesn't belong there. And it was a little glazed ceramic ball that looked like it was intentionally hidden there. And I've always wanted to find who hid that there, where did that come from, keep it, it's on my shelf. It's one of my favorite little things. It was my souvenir from this trip to Vancouver. So that was another piece of, you know, how I came to want to hide things like that in my environment. And actually on that same trip, I met an artist that painted these really elaborate paintings on rocks, and I lost her name. So I hope that my project can act as a calling card to both of those artists to find them, because they inspired me so much. And I feel like I was able to find my own idea out of things that inspired me from them.
Beautiful. Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, I live in southern New Hampshire. At the time, my fiance was living in northern Vermont. And there was one rest area kind of in the middle. And I would just stop there if I needed a bite to eat or to just kind of get out of the car and stretch. And one day, went over by this stone wall. And right on top, there were three painted stones. I think it was Live, Love, and Believe were on the stones. And I just thought, first off, who left them here? How long have they been there? And I'm asking myself, should I take them? And I said, you know what? No, they deserve to be here. Continuing, so I took a picture of them and I used them in my speaking events for a long time, just saying you never know how far the ripples go, because if somebody was really having a bad day or a really rough time in their life and they happened to be sitting on that wall and they saw those, I honestly believe that every day there's somebody in the world that needs a hero so bad that deserves to find those little moments. And find those little gifts and those little treasures. I mean, as you put it, it's treasures. That to just leave them there to continue and just wonder how far they can go. Or if somebody does take them, that they leave them somewhere else where they can continue to inspire people.
Yeah, I believe all of that. I think it's an opportunity to interact and affect somebody that you don't know. It could be anyone, you know, and it's that belief in serendipity or, you know, being in the right place at the right time and helping create those moments and doing it in a simple way that everyone can participate in any sort of way that they choose to. I started writing Finders Keepers on the back of mine because of the same thought process that went with yours when you found those. And I want people to think, you know, ask those questions. Is this something that I can have? Well, yeah, the rock tells me I can have it, and they can keep it, and they can pass it along, or they can keep it on their shelf as a reminder of whatever moment that they had that day. Another thing I think is really amazing is how you have a story about some rocks that you found, and so many people have flooded me with stories of rocks and how they painted them with their grandparents when they were kids, or everything on this whole like scale of what could happen with a rock. I've heard now these stories, and I'm so excited that I can be some sort of like sponge to take in all those stories, and I hope to find a way to regroup them and continue to give them back and share that so many people are relatable or can relate to such a simple idea and on such a personal level. I love the story that you just shared with me. I think it's exactly what I'm talking about. And the fact that you used it in your presentation for years to come, you know, is like the artist that left those could have no idea and doesn't know that story link, you know? So you two collaborated on this effort that you each only have half that story. And hopefully I can at least find some people who will give me the other half of the story now that I found a way to bring those back to me by creating this online community.
And every once in a while you hear the stories in the news of somebody who's, you know, their garden gnome all of a sudden disappears. And then they find themselves getting pictures mailed to them from all over the country, like somebody took it on vacation with them. And it just brings joy everywhere. I mean, you see the little garden gnome with Mount Rushmore in the background or the Grand Canyon or an ocean or something. I can just imagine if a truck driver happened to be coming through St. Louis and was a cross-country driver, just imagine how far those stones could make it if this guy had friends along the way in different cities and just left them. And just you started just getting these little inquiries from all over the country. I just think that is the coolest little pay it forward action that could happen.
Yeah, I like that's how you see it. I want people to see it that way. Yeah, I would love to have a truck driver, somebody who's always on the move. You know, I can only focus on my state, or I want to build an opportunity for myself to travel, but simultaneous to that, I want it to already be happening in these areas. The way you talk about the gnomes, I love the idea of these things in front of monuments all over the world, these relatable sites. And if the stones become so relatable and have that sort of essence of pay it forward, serendipity, you know, happiness, treasure, and they get linked to all of these places that we can relate to across globally, I don't know, it just seems, yeah, like a positive thing that we can all enjoy together. It's not something that's just mine. I didn't do it to make it as big as it's already becoming. I did it because it was fun, you know, and so I would want it to be fun for anybody else. It's exciting to see, like, just in the past couple of weeks, how much it's changed and grown and more opportunities have risen. So
I don't think there's any better way to live your life than to do something you would do just because it's fun. And all of a sudden, it just captures the imagination of so many people and it just starts going. And it's a good thing. It's like you said, St. Louis has been dealing with a lot of stuff and a lot of struggle over the past few years, and emotions are running high. And somebody shared a Bob Marley quote with me a couple of weeks ago, and it basically distills down to the bad guys or the people that are causing trouble in the world aren't taking today off, so I won't either. So despite all this stuff going on, you know, you're still out there swinging for the fences with this innocent little doodle stone that's having a great positive impact for people and uniting people, and I think St. Louis deserves something like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think one thing that the article highlighted that Upworthy posted was that the negative media that St. Louis is getting, and, you know, but what if you were there? And they said you'd see, you know, everyday life, that people interacting with each other of all types. And that's really what it's like, you know. There are the protests still going on. There is a lot of violence here. But on the everyday life, that's not what's happening. What's happening is actually people coming together a lot more actively. Everywhere in the spectrum of St. Louis, people are trying to make an effort to make this community stronger and to make a positive change. And I don't think that that's what's going out into the global media. I think that there's a lot of negative news going on here, and there's been a lot of art, a huge reaction of public art making in the last year that I think is going to continue to grow stronger every year that we, you know, get past this experience that we had to all have, you know.
And if all it takes is a little rock with a Sharpie and a face drawn on it to be hidden somewhere in St. Louis to bring somebody some joy, what better way to make your way through life?
That's right. I feel being a treasure hunter, being this artist, working on the river, I have all of these thoughts. I'm so separated from the rest of the city so much of the time. And, you know, I think a lot of my ideas are real grandeur, but this one was the simple one, and it was this one that really was helping and creating the city that I want to see, at least from my little corner of it.
Now, Doodle Stones is a very positive mission. You've gotten all this great press, the Upworthy article, and all these people talking about it. The challenge is so many people can think, oh, it's so easy for these guys to do this stuff. What's been the biggest challenge so far for you?
I think something that I struggle with that has taken me so long to come up with such a simple idea that works, it's not that I haven't been trying for a long time, for 30 years, to figure this out. Some way to give back is the slightest amount of negative feedback, I can have just like this swapping of positive feedback. And then I think that lots of people feel this way. I get one person implementing their negative feedback, and then I harp on that. I can't think of anything else. And this has gotten so little negative feedback, and even the negative feedback it has gotten has been almost a little forced. But I feel like if I didn't have this flooding of positive feedback, I would have recognized what I normally beat myself up for, which is hearing all the criticism, but then only really taking in consideration the harsh criticisms. And so I feel like what I'm learning from this is, you know, lighten up. Your ideas are probably good. I mean, to the general public, you know, their ideas are probably good, and to believe in them more often, because I feel like I had to suffer a lot to come up with an idea that takes no suffering, you know.
Now, how can people find out more, Brian, about Doodle Stones? Where can they learn more about you and maybe inquire about how they can kind of bring it to their part of the country?
Well, you can go to Instagram.com/doodlestones or just go to the search icon and search doodlestones. And you can go to Facebook, the same thing, Facebook.com/doodlestones. Or you could just plug it in the search. It'll come up right away. You can email me directly at doodlestones@gmail.com. If you have personal questions or questions about how to start your own, just in general, I'd say start drawing on stones and hiding them around your area. Use the hashtag doodlestones and see if anything comes back. See if anybody takes a picture and plugs that into the hashtag. And the more I think that are doing it, the more people will feel comfortable doing it and it'll be more of a thing. I think that at a base level. If you want to take it to another level, like these other people who are starting groups for their city, then start the group. I can put a calling out on the Facebook page for people in your area and try to connect those people back to you, so that way you guys can kind of start your own little Doodlestones club.
So, Brian, thank you so much for being part of the Motivational Firewood Radio Show. And as it says on your Doodlestones Facebook page, treasure is everywhere. And I feel like I just discovered treasure of a brand new friend with a very cool program going on down in St. Louis.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on. It's been really fun.
Thank you for listening. For more information on how to include Steve at your next event or to learn more about his personal development programs, please visit stevegamlin.com.